everyone, welcome back to But Why Though the podcast. And today we have an extra special event. If you followed us on Twitter, you know that we love Into the Badlands. And today we have a special guest, Nathaniel Moon himself, Sherman Augustus.
I'm a butterfly.
This is already my favorite interview we've ever done. Oh, already.
Dear, let's not get started. Okay. All right. Yeah. Hello.
As always, I'm your host, Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
And yeah, that finale, that mid-season finale, though, that's what's in my head at the moment.
Yeah.
And I have, so my very first question, on a very personal note, I'm gonna hijack the questions already from the guys, but how
typical,
was it?
Typical.
To...
Go ahead.
Pretty much.
Yes, that is typical. Our listeners know. How was it to choreograph that scene in the big battle with the opera over it?
That, oh man, that was probably one of the coldest days ever. And I played in cold weather, you know, I lived in cold weather, but it was cold. It was so cold. And it was maybe, I think Andy said it was 9 days to shoot it. It might have been 10, but he wouldn't know because he's a director. it was a pretty big, vast thing. You know, the scale of the whole show has doubled, tripled, I would think, I should say. And what we did is Paco shot the ending first. That's what we did, because all of the other stuff, we shot the ending first. We shot me on the horse first. We shot that out. That took about 4 days for us. Then you add on the other days that it took to do the big wide master from the crane and from the, you know, the God's eye shot.
Yeah.
That took a long time because there were so many components. As you noticed, there was like 155,000 plus two people out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of moving components and there was a lot of things going on. And then there were some visual and special effects that were added later. So, you know, we had to make sure folks were in certain areas for this explosion and for that fire. Fires were real. You know, everybody falling into the bloody water, all that was real. And it was cold, it was damp. But I must say, that each and every person, all the stunt performers that are out there, they're the best in the business. And man, nobody complained. Everybody did their job. So we, as little, you know, pansy actors, we can't say anything. I put on your big boy pants, as they say, and get out there and just do your thing. And it was fun. But you know, the numbers on any fight sequence is anywhere between 4 to 8 days.
Wow.
For instance, the bridge scene in season 2, episode 3, my episode, that took 8 days to shoot.
Wow.
And I was I had maybe been in country in Dublin for about maybe less than 48 hours when we shot that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. See, let me explain, guys. See, 2 days before that I was in a drunken stupor. Went out and I was hanging out with my best friend who's a filmmaker, and we were playing some music and doing stuff like that. And it's quite funny because that day I had went over to speak with my agent about the show because I had put myself on tape 4 weeks beforehand. Mm-hmm. Didn't hear anything. So went out, hung out with my buddy, and got home. And the next morning I got a phone call. Hey, Simon, it's Susan Horn. I want to get you on the airplane at Fatati today to get you up into the Badlands. Wait. 5 a.m. Are you what? Who's this? Anyway, I was on a plane, landed, did the whole rigmarole, you know, the hair, makeup, you know, test thing and wardrobe and all that kind of stuff, and got some rest that Sunday. And we were on that bridge, and I counted down from that day on. It was 8 days we shot that. We did like maybe 4 days, went and did some other stuff, did some drama stuff, and then came back. And I kept going to myself, how long does it take to shoot a fight scene, Danny?
Yeah.
4 to 8 days. I'm like, oh my God, you know. Yeah, that sequence took a minute to do, and it was a fun sequence to do. You know, as an actor, you know, you see all everybody else, the whole entire crew and the cast, everybody just chipping in and doing what they need to do to make that sequence great. So, you know, you just got to put on, like I said, put on your big boy pants and just do it. But it's so much fun to do that stuff. Master Didi and Andy and everybody put a lot into that. And it was really cool to do. And it was a lot of fun and I enjoyed it, other than the cold. I know it was a long roundabout way, but sorry, no easy sound bites with me.
No, we appreciate it all because that just made me appreciate that fight scene even more.
Yeah, it was bananas, right?
Bananas. That's crazy.
Yeah. So for my own curiosity, because I'm, you know, lifelong football fan, consequently, the Vikings are my favorite team.
Okay. Is that a Viking shirt you got on there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, gotta have it on there. Yeah.
There you go.
Followed very, very closely by the San Diego Chargers. So I have to ask, given, you know, that 8-date fight scene and then kind of like all the choreographing, stuff that you just talked about, right, how was that transition from being, you know, at the highest levels of like football and then transitioning into, you know, acting? Like, was that something that you thought you were going to do? And then like has like,
It was long days. It was something that I knew I was going to do because I get this question all the time. It was something I knew I was going to do, you know, born and raised here in LA. You know, I had cousins in the business. So, of course, that always piqued my curiosity. But I wanted to see if I can make it to the big show. And I did go to high school and college with Jim Bridges Jr., who is Todd Bridges' older brother. And their dad was an agent and mom was a manager. So a bunch of us, you know, we always ended up doing something, you know, doing a commercial or something like that. But I wanted to see if I can really, really make it to the big show. And, you know, the transition was, it's interesting because in football, everything is regimented and structured and on time and schedules. You know, you're on schedules as far as in the film industry and television. But at some point, you know, there's when you're in the middle of a play, it's basically improvisation. You know, it's just you don't know what's going to happen. You know your assignment. You know what you need to do. You see a formation. You recognize a formation or not, or the formation might be off a little bit. And, you know, all those things, all those components, audibles, all those things, you know, because I was a defensive back. So, you know, you have to read these things. So that keeps you on your toes. And when you're acting, you know, the thing to do is always try to have a real moment with the other actors or actor that you're in the scene with. And so that's an easy transition because you have to listen. Acting is reacting and playing a sport, you know, either defensively or offensively. It is a reaction to you're reacting to something. You got to react to this play. You see that guard pulling and da 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 da. Okay, you know, you read through something and you know they're pulling. Okay, you got to react to it. Am I primary field man? Am I secondary field man? Who's got me covered? Da 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 da. That whole thing. Just so it's the same thing in a sense. I would say the only thing that's different with our show, particularly when it comes down to fights and fight choreography, what you read in the script, it's not there. So what you read in your playbook is not there. When you get the set, then basically Andy or Master Didi would say, okay, do this, 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 and this, and this, and this. And you go, okay, well, I knew I wasn't going to. And we always know. You read something, you go, we're not doing that. It's going to be totally different, right? And so you just have to be, you know, I say just be loosey-goosey and be, you know, just be able to flow like water and just...
And record for 8 days on a bridge.
And record for 8 days in the bridge, man. And, you know, just go, wow. You know, people go, wow, man, you lost a lot of weight. You did this, that, that. Yeah, you come swing a sword for 9 months. Come swing a sword, man. Come stand over here in the cold for a minute. Yeah, you'll see something too, pal. You know?
I do have to ask on that note, how heavy is Moon's sword? Because that thing looks so heavy.
It's heavy. It is. There's different variations of the sword because there's so many, like a hero sword, a sharp sword that'll kill you, this, that, and the other, all that stuff. And so the weight is pretty consistent, and the weight is pretty consistent of a real broadsword.
Ooh.
Yeah. All the swords are. I mean, even the other katanas, it's consistent to what we practice with and what you have.
That's really amazing to hear.
Yeah. So it's not like you're going to pick up. Yeah, there's a few little like really light resin ones that are sitting around mm-hmm. that, you know, we'll play around with or whatever the case may be. But when you're shooting, you're going to get something that is related to or equal to the weight of a real sword.
Wow, that's a good workout.
Yeah, it's a good workout.
So your story that you had from like basically you just got a phone call and next thing I know you flew over and you were fighting for 8 days on a bridge.
Yeah.
Did you think that was going to be it, or did you already know like ahead of time that you were going to be like into season three?
You mean the best part of season three?
4 weeks previous to that, you know, when I did get the breakdown and read the whole thing, only read the breakdown and the audition material. I didn't read the script until I was on the plane. And in the breakdown material, it did say that the character was coming back for 7 episodes. Now, 7 episodes in our union means you're a regular on the show. But we didn't know we were doing 16 episodes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I had 2 episodes off, which are cool because I went everywhere. I traveled like a mother scritching. I saw that, and when I read the script on the plane ride over for episode 3, season 2, they literally, and this is the reason why I connect with that character so well, this was the first time, guys, in a long, long time that I received a role or a character that was already developed on the page. So I didn't get a chance to really, other than my material that I got when I auditioned for it, put myself on tape. You know, then I had, what I do is I let the character evaluate me. So the character always, every character always asked me specific questions about getting that character up and off the page, because I didn't write the dialogue. And the only way for me to make that dialogue real is I have to make a connection to it. So the process goes like this. I will let Nathaniel ask me, what in my life have I been through to get him off the page? And then I can start my countdown, you know? Yeah. Well, you never killed nobody before, Sherman. Oh, well, let me tell you something, Nathaniel. Remember a couple of weeks ago, that guy cut me off. And I said his mother was nut butter, right? Right? That's the Irish term, nut butter. I point you into nut butter. You know, I would do that process, and it gets deeper, 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 and deeper. And so that's the way I prepare myself with that. And it just allows you to just let everything go. And to go back to what I was saying, they really developed a character that I was able to connect with, put and let him put on my suit and let him shine. And I'm having a blast with him. I'm having a blast. I can't wait for you guys to see the second 8. Because as an actor, for the first time in a long time, I get a chance to actually connect with every emotion that we have as human beings. It's deep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm proud. I'm proud of myself. I'm so happy. I'm going to slap my back.
I personally can't wait. Watching you play Moon and like his really intense honor is something that it makes him very unique to the characters around him.
Yeah.
And so like, is there anything from your perspective that like that Moon has done that like you as Sherman don't agree with? Like maybe not a move you would have made in that situation.
I would have whooped a whole bunch of people's asses. Sherman? Sherman would have netted up 357 with a bologna sandwich. Okay. Long time ago, man. You know, you got to remember, I'm an ex-defensive back.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm used to handling things the way I used to handle things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I respect the simple fact that I have to step aside from that and be someone that is honorable. I think I am more of Sherman as Nathaniel in front of a camera than I am right now.
Wow.
And what I mean by that is, you know, a lot of actors, and that includes myself and a couple of friends that I have that are serious, big-time actors, are more free to express themselves as actors, and you're actually seeing more of them than mm-hmm. anybody else. I mean, all my friends will tell you when they watch the show, dude, you just did that yesterday. Sherman, you just looked at me like that in the kitchen. I know who moved the remote. You know, I specifically set my stuff right here. Don't move it. And then, you know, so I like to leave those little tidbits, and I like to, for my friends, to let them see just a glimpse that I'm there. But I really, really like the fact that, you know, you can submerge yourself into something and you can be, and it feels liberating. It feels real. So I feel real when I'm Nathaniel. The only other time that's happened before was when I did a film called Virus.
Oh, okay.
And with Billy Baldwin and Jamie Lee Curtis, Donald Sutherland. You know, it was that was a lot of fun, you know, and that was an 8-month shoot. And, you know, we were in confined quarters. You know, the film had a claustrophobic feel. You know, it was aliens on a ship at sea, basically.
Yeah.
Is what it was. And, you know, I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about filmmaking during that process. And I think about that great feeling and the time that I had, and also when I did Prophet, you know, and this just relates to that. And it's just a lot of fun. And I got to tell you, from Ruta to Tuta, I mean, from the whole cast, crew, even down to craft service, those people work hard. So, you know, you cannot be lackadaisical in your effort. I mean, so it goes back to playing ball, man.
Yeah.
It goes back to, you know, my teammates are pulling their weight, so I got to get in there and pull my weight. I know my assignment. Okay, coach, I'm going to hit my mark. I'm going to say these lines. Let's go. Boom.
Yeah.
And have fun doing it, you know. Sometimes I think, like, you know, I geek out and I go, man, I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this. I'm glad I'm getting paid. this is cool work, but I'm glad I'm getting paid. So it's just awesome. It's a great show to do. And they get good people that come on. There's a bunch of new actors that came on that are going to do very well because this is a great platform for them.
Yeah.
You know, this is an A-list show. So,
yeah.
You know. There it is.
I will say my favorite, like, small moment that you've had in season 3 was when you find out that MK was trained by Sunny.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You just, like, side-eye Widow, like, yeah. It's going to happen now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's some more of that coming out.
Oh.
Wait till you see me and Cressida go at it. Oh, it gets...
It's Badlands. I assume everybody fights everybody.
You're not wrong. Everybody has just about fought everybody. So, like, I just want to see you fight everybody. Like, just you in a room versus everybody, and
you know,
with your hand. And that's all I need for the rest of season 3.
Can you imagine? I just walk into the Widow Sanctuary and everybody's there, and I go, I hope everybody brought a lunch.
Yep. Oh gosh. Adrian brought up the hand, and this is probably like one of the big questions that I've had, because it looks so good, like both on you and off of you. Mm-hmm. What is that? Is it like a glove, CG, prosthetics?
It went through various forms. Okay, so first it was a glove that you slide on and it had the fingers, right?
Okay.
And then the gauntlet went over it. Then there was a clip on. That was okay for about 3 months, and I was like, you know what? It started swelling my fingers.
Oof.
So, and then there were certain things that I needed to do in order, you know, for visual and special effects and prop masters to put the blade in, right? And I couldn't move the fingers that much. So, all right, from that moment on, they went back, because they have these 3D printers. They have several 3D printers there, and they just went to work. And they went to work and they went to work until they got it right. And the last 2.5-3 months, they came up with a glove that everybody was happy with. It looked great. The detail was amazing. And I mean, it had these cogs in the middle of the palm, you know, that moved and click clacked and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, those guys, they did it. So it's just a glove that goes on, and then there's two different variations, that a softer one and a rigid one, just in case when, you know, I'm fighting and I need to block, because there's no way to put pads in there.
So yeah.
When I'm knife hand blocking, I'm actually, my hand is there. I'm going to feel it.
Ooh.
And let me tell you, nobody takes it easy.
Wow.
So they're coming at you with those swords. They're coming at you. If you have to block with your gauntlet or my hand with a knife hand block, it's got to be right, and it's precision. I mean, I'm looking at I was looking at the scene, the fight scene with me and both with me and Allie and me with Aramis, and mm-hmm. they're good, and they knew exactly where to strike. So we work it out to where it's like one step sparring.
Yeah.
One step sparring. When you're working with that, you always tell the person who's attacking you to strike right here at your nose, to go right there, because you can block and you can center everything, and you can get your head out the way that way.
So, oh wow!
Yeah. Very interesting. So you know, it's no joke. But nobody ever got hurt. Nobody ever got dinged. You know, you might hit your finger or something like that.
Yeah.
Nobody ever got like, you know, walked away going home bleeding from, you know, lost an eye, you know, actor losing an eye. Details at 11. No,
that's really going for authenticity.
Yeah. I mean, the scenes do look super authentic. Like one of my favorite things about the show in general is that whenever the fight scenes are going on, it looks like you guys all the time. So I don't know what the stunt work is or anything like that, but like how much of your fight scenes specifically are like you doing them? Because we know that
everybody does anywhere between 75% to 85% of their own stuff.
Trust me. That's good. Wow. That's awesome.
That is amazing.
Even Daniel, everybody.
I feel like Nick, I need to bow down to you right now.
Nick, everybody does 75% to 85% of their own.
Wow.
Stuff. Unless, you know, there's a big wide shot and they're doing all this stuff and there's all these things going on, then they'll grab the fight double and the fight double does that. I mean, you know, they don't want to burn out the actor because a lot of times we have dialogue in between, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, it gets pretty tricky. But look, you know, we don't want to disappoint, you know, our guys, the Hong Kong stunt team. You know, we want to look good for them. We definitely want to look good for Stephen Fong, Andy Chang, and Master Didi. We definitely do, you know, because those guys are icons in the business. And you get a chance to work with some icons, you know. I mean, everybody's I don't know anybody that hates Kill Bill or The Matrix. You know?
Yep.
And, you know, that's where they come from. Plus the other Hong Kong cinema kind of, you know, movies and the Jackie Chan stuff. And you notice there's a lot more Jackie Chan stuff stepping in, like The Ladder.
Yes. This one was yelling over and over. Oh my God, is he going to kill someone with a ladder? Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh, there's more. There's a whole bunch of more stuff coming up that you guys are going to enjoy.
So, like, one of the things that brought me into the Badlands was what made it different was from, like, other, because there are other shows around that fight, but like this brings in that wuxia spirit from Chinese cinema, and it's amazing. So like, what do you have any personal connection to like that type of genre? You know, did it inspire you to start martial arts or anything?
I loved, you know, especially the Shaw Brothers older stuff. And, you know, I'm a fan of all that stuff. And then to be working again with Andy, you know, because Andy and there's all these guys that were Andy Long and Brian Lee and all these guys, they all come from the Jackie Chan stunt team.
Yeah.
And Brian and Andy are so good. They're self-taught, right? Wow. And literally, Jackie Chan he saw their reel and went and knocked on their door. Literally. Went and just like, hello, hi. Hi, I'm Jackie Chan. How are you?
Wow.
You know, I want to bring you in. Same thing with Daniel. Jackie Chan met Jackie Chan at a party. He said, hey man, do you act? He's like, I'm in architect school. Okay, well, I you're gonna act now. I've been going ever since, man. And me, my background is Taekwondo and Kutsu. And Kutsu is Korean Kung Fu. So it's almost similar, but not that close. So my movement is a lot different.
Yeah.
You know, and the person, here's a little quiz for you guys, and here's a little mind blowing. So, you know, go ahead and get some Kleenex because you might blow your own mind here. Before I got into martial arts, I did a couple of films where I had to do some stuff. So, you know, I was getting these honorary black belt certificates, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I did a film called Space Marines in 1996. Now, we had this gentleman. This dude's awesome. This dude is so awesome. That was our fight and stunt coordinator. And I had one day I had a big, gigantic fight scene with Boyd Blake. And we rehearsed it one day and we shot it like 2 days later. But I just remembered it was just going through my motions, you know. And he said, just, you know, every now and then take 15 minutes out and just do your motion. And you know, and then we'll shoot this thing whenever we shot it. So after we shot that big thing, it took all day to shoot that, not 7 days, but one day. Thanks for breaking me in easy. He walks up to me and he goes, hey man, you need to study martial arts. You're going to be good at it. Trust me, you'll be good at it. I'm like, yeah, yes, sir. You know, now this particular gentleman has a son on our show, and I want you to guess who his son is.
Oh. Okay, so the 90s. Can you guess MK?
One more try.
What if you do it?
Nick Frost.
Loser. It was Danny Tan. It's Lewis's dad.
Oh my god.
Oh really?
Yep, mind blowing experience. So it just goes to show that there's only like, you know,
wow,
four living rooms in Hollywood.
That wow. is amazing.
Yeah, so yeah, crazy, right? How do you think I felt? Now, there's no pressure, right?
Yeah. So
he hit me up Sunday night and he was just very proud. And there's only two people that he told. When I spoke with him, he had Skyped Lewis while we were all hanging out over Aramis's house one night, and had Skyped Lewis. And so I was talking to him where he was on speaker. He said, I told two individuals, you know, I told a lot of people, but only two individuals heeded my suggestion. And that was you and Michael Jai White.
Wow.
Yeah. Of course, Michael just went, he took it to the nth degree and get.
Yeah. Yeah,
sucker. Yeah. You know, I just feel for me and for what I started learning and just having all that muscle mass on me from football, I just wanted it off me because I'm a clothes freak and I like to look good in my clothes. As y'all can see, I look good in that jacket. Yeah.
Yes. I may have put out a lot of tweets about that jacket and bowler hat. Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah. I just felt that for me, you know, carrying around that muscle mass is just, you know, I wanted to do other things other than dive through windows and shoot guns. You know what I mean? I wanted to like literally get into the mix and act. So, which, you know, whatever's good for you is good for you. But yeah, Danny Tan is the one who got me into it. Sure did. Lewis is dad.
That is mind blowing.
I was like, wait a minute, Lewis Tan, dude. It's dad. It's Danny Tan. Oh man, no pressure, sure. No.
Wow.
So I know you've killed it.
Yeah. You've definitely killed it.
So one of the things I do like about the Badlands is there are no guns and everything else, but obviously there are weapons. And in your hand, is there anything that your hand can't do or you'd like to add to it?
There is four darts. There's four darts. There's the short sword, and then there's the dagger, right?
Right.
And I want to say something so bad, guys, but you know, I can't.
The battle axe is gonna pop out.
Yeah, flamethrower.
No, not for me, but at the end of, and I'm glad my publicist isn't here and nobody's here. I got an email from It was a text the other day from Latoya, one of our producer writers, and she said, "Oh boy, you just walked up to the line with some of the stuff. You got to watch it, or you're gonna get in trouble." So, but she thought it was just hilarious. Something very interesting is going to happen whenever they show the next eight. The finale of the next eight is going to change everything for the season after that. So, y'all are going to have to scoop up your brains.
Yeah.
and put them back in because it's going to be slushy. it's going to be risky what they're going to do. All right, that's all I say. I wish I could just spill the beans, but my ass will be on the job. My groceries. but it's going to be fun. I respect the simple fact that the producers have, they're going to make this this step, and I think it's ballsy, and I'm proud of them for it, and I'm back 100,000%, and it's just going to add a new element to the Badlands. It's going to be a trip. y'all are gonna go, where's my brain?
I'm about to start like my conspiracy theory board with like all the red should, and stuff, trying to theory this out.
you should. It's gonna be mind blowing. But you'll, I think by episode 312, you guys will start getting these hints. Hey, where did Adrian go? Did he leave? Am I boring him?
Oh, no.
No, I'm just thinking of like all the things that could happen.
He's scooping his brains back in what you said.
He's like, man, this is the most crappiest interview I've ever done.
I'm just trying to think of all the cool stuff. Because like one of my favorite things about this show is that a lot of shows these days are kind of like predictable and you kind of know what's going to happen. Yes. I have no idea what's going to happen at any point during this show. Yeah. And especially like during like those season finales, something big always happens and it always like leaves me wanting more. So I'm just trying to picture things in my head. That
same with me. I love a good, like, you know, when what's his face was getting we thought he was getting torn to shreds and eaten up.
Glenn on The Walking Dead.
You know, I was like, oh damn, you know, they kind of pissed me off in a way. And I think what's going to happen, a lot of folks are going to be pissed off. It's kind of like a pissed off, like, okay. I can't wait for it to come back.
Okay.
So we don't know what they're going to do. So I can tell you guys this without me, you know, getting in trouble and flogged. The second eight was supposed to be sometime in the fall. What I'm hearing, the second eight won't be until around May next year for May sweeps because it's a strong show.
Wow.
If that's the case, when we do go back in May, we'll be shooting season five. So the next eight, they'll call that season four.
Okay.
Because towards the end of the next eight, they put the pedal to the metal and there's no breaks. So they're going to amp it up a lot more
for
whatever. So if they show the next eight, you know, in September, whenever we go back, it's over. They're gonna clip the brakes. There's no brakes. You guys are gonna be, oh man, I wish I was in the room with everybody when you guys see what happens at the
next. Oh my gosh. I'll be live tweeting the hell out of it. So
it's gonna be no freaking way.
Wow.
Now I can't say this. Shit, can I say it?
Come on, Chairman. It's only us. No one else is here.
I said it. Okay, I'll tell you in a secret. Because I said this the other day and, you know, I got some strange looks from my publicist. So nobody's here. I'm at home, sucker. Not everyone's going to make it.
Okay.
That's all I can say.
Okay.
That's all I can
say. Like, not everyone's going to make it, but come back with, like, a machine gun arm, or like not?
No. How did you know?
Gun.
Spoiler alert. I got a machine gun arm. They cut the rest of the bastard off and give me a machine gun. And as you can tell from Sunday, I'm pretty sure you can piece together that from last Sunday, that there will be some team-ups.
Yes. Yeah, that is something I was super excited for.
They teamed everybody up in Game of Thrones, kind of.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's a possibility. But we have so many new characters coming on. I mean, the strong thing about it is the new threat that, you know, Pilgrim has this new power.
Yeah.
And the Black Lotuses.
Yeah.
Yes.
Vicious.
Yeah.
So that adds another element. It really does. And those guys do not muck about when they bring it. So Yeah, they did their I mean 16 episodes, they had to come up with something and it's very engaging.
Yeah.
And we all had a lot of fun. But it's going to be like, you know, Yeah.
See, I couldn't be an actor because my mouth is just way too big. I spill all the
Why do you trust me with this? Why me, man? Why me? I came back. I called my mom, my best friend. Yo, mom. Yeah, yay. Your boy. Let me tell you what happened to your boy.
Boy.
So before you spill beans, I mean, I want you to personally.
Yeah, no, I'm just waiting for it. I'm just not going to ask anymore. We're just going to sit here and just let you go through your own line there.
One of the other questions I had was, one, who on the show was your favorite fight with? And two, if you could fight anybody, choreograph fight, of course, anybody in a movie, who would it be?
Oh, anybody in a movie?
Anybody.
Anybody. Damn. Straight up, fist to fist, or do I get to bring my shit? Sorry, am I supposed to?
You can cut, so you're fine.
You can bring
your hand. You can bring your hand.
You can bring your hand. And your dope broadsword.
Yes.
Okay. Anybody. Conan, man. I'd fight Conan.
Oh.
I like to fight Conan. I like to go through Jamie Lannister, Conan. Who else?
I need to see you and Jamie Lannister fight hand to hand. Your hand's gonna win.
Let me see who else. Okay, I don't know. I mean, that's Godzilla, Jaws, and I will King Kong's ass too. All right.
I need somebody to Photoshop you into a picture of you fighting Godzilla and King Kong and Jaws.
I'll fight. And I think my favorite fight scene this season, there isn't one. I like them all.
Wow.
Because, you know, there were different things, different movements. And I love of course, my fight with Sonny. But I love the fact that, you know, because you never underestimate anyone, you know, out there, especially in the streets. And when it came to Ali and Aramis, I was not doubting them because they've been trained very well. But it was refreshing to have them come at me the way they came at me. It was refreshing, you know, and you know, because it's just like acting. If you're standing across someone who is not present and you can see in their eyes, they're just registering their line because they're listening to you and they're going, my line is XYZ, then it's no fun. But if that individual is able to mix it up with you, that's where the fun comes in. And a good choreographed fight is a good dance, and you have a good dance partner. And that's what it is.
I will say your fight with Tilda Ali on top of the convoy, it was like, it was really good to watch. Mm-hmm. Because you two were, I could see where you two were actually like you said, like you were having a real moment when you were fighting. Like it wasn't, and I guess that's like to say for like the show as a whole, like there's no just mindless fighting. Like everybody looks like they're super connected to each other in all of those scenes.
Yeah, and the same with Emily. I would say the most technical fight I've been in was with Emily. Because, you know, and especially when she broke out, when she split the swords in half.
Yeah.
You know, and then Emily is exactly in those stilettos. She really is. She's not in flats, guys. She's not in flats. And Emily brings it.
Emily that is awesome. No
joke. She's no joke.
That is so awesome.
So if you piss her off, run. She's the sweetest person in the world, but Emily's no joke.
Oh, I love her fight scenes so much. And the fact that she's actually wearing the stilettos makes it even better.
It's crazy. We sit there and go like, really? In heels, and of course, all of the women on the set. She goes, "Yeah, sucker, get back up in heels, chump." Hey, I'm on her side. You got no argument for me. I'm there with you, sis. Go. I would say my favorite fight scene to watch this season was Lewis and Dean, because Dean is not a martial artist at all. Dean
really?
He never picked up a sword on Game of Thrones. Never.
Wow.
I personally had this conversation with him. But Dean is a bona fide professional dancer.
That explains. Okay, that's cool.
Thank you, doctor.
It clicked. It's clicking.
Yeah. Because I was there at the production office that day when they shot that, we have a beautiful gym there. So I was in the gym and I'm like, oh yeah, they're gonna fight today. And I go over there and I'm watching this and I look over at Master Didi and he's just smiling. Like he's got this little smirk on his face because he's, you know, he's like, and I go, you're pleased, aren't you? He goes, Betty. Cool, cool. Yeah, that was all Lewis and Dean.
Wow. And
all them too.
That they is knocked amazing. It out the ballpark.
I love this. I love all of like the tidbits and stuff because it just makes like you can just it just makes you see, you know, how connected you all are kind of like as a cast. Is there like a favorite interaction like on or off set with one of the particular?
Oh, we hang out like crazy. I mean, we hang out here in LA. We hung out. I mean, that was the hardest thing to do, and we were all freaking crying. And yes, we were all freaking crying because we've become so tight, you know. And even though, you know, you have some dysfunctional cousins and aunties and brothers and sisters, that's exactly what it was. But we took care of each other. And we traveled together. We went Barcelona. We went over here. We went dad, Amsterdam. Wow. It's crazy. You know, we were just tight, you know, damn near having dinner with each other every night. We saw each other every day, every night almost. Yep, all the time.
That's
so
awesome.
That's been awesome. The hardest thing about coming back. Because I stayed 2 weeks longer and I only been back for 2.5, almost 3 weeks now. Everybody else has been back for a month and a half probably. And I'm like, you know, I just wanted to relish that time I had over there, but I get to see him here when we've been hanging out. So it's good.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
This Into the Badlands is by far my favorite show on like cable TV, but I think it just shot past all my Netflix favorites now after this conversation.
it's hard work and I'm glad that we have fans that are loyal and that love what we do, because if we didn't have an audience, I mean, everything else is just a, you know, thank God that we're doing good work, because a byproduct of good work, I get to talk with you guys.
Yes.
Yay.
So, you know, that's the thing that matters. And that's what keeps you honest. And that's what keeps you doing what you're doing. And even if I wasn't on Badlands, I would be a Badlands fan.
Yeah.
You know, because when the show came out, when I saw the trailers, I was like, well, it's a martial arts show and I'm not on it. Bump that show. I'm telling the truth, guys. I'm not lying. I'm like, bump that show, man. I'm not on it. And I had just came off of Low Winter Sun for AMC. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, you know, network knows me. They should have slid me in there some kind of way. Okay, is it like that? Bump y'all. And then after the East Coast airing of the pilot, my mom got it. She was looking at it because on the West Coast, sometimes, you know, if you have certain shows like HBO and all that kind of stuff, you can get the East Coast feed early. Mm-hmm. And so she goes, Sherman, you got to watch the show. It's a good show. I'm like, I'm not watching nothing. Right? And I held off all day. I was like, I ain't watching that movie. I'm not watching. And I caught the rebroadcast at 11 or 12, something like that, after talking to Dan. I'm like, dude, I'm getting on this show. I'm getting on this show straight out. You know, I'm putting it out there right now. Man, I got on the show.
Gosh, that is amazing.
Yeah. It is. It is.
So I do have one thing. Since you said everybody obviously brings on the set, unfortunately, you have not got to interact, I guess. Have you seen Nick Frost fight his choreography? Because he obviously does not do his other movies.
Oh,
like that.
No. Wrong, my friend.
Oh.
Nick Frost used to be a professional rugby player.
Ooh.
Oh,
that's why I was wondering what his background was in all this.
Okay.
Nick Frost can move. All those fights, now Brian Lee did all the flipping and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Lee comes in to do that. But the squid stuff, all that stuff.
Nick Frost really beat somebody with an eel. My day is made.
That's Nick Frost. That's Nick.
Wow.
So, yeah, Nick can move. Nick's no joke, especially this year. He didn't like it too much last year. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, Nick's role was to, you know, shoot the show up, you know, and bring the Nick Frost thing into the show. And he's injected that, you know, beautifully. And great fight scenes for him, season two. But, you know, that's Nick, man. Nick is on it.
That's awesome.
On it. Yeah. Yeah, Nick is on it. All the kicking, the Nick with the squids. Come on,
Does this make Baji even better for you?
It does. I enjoyed Baji. It was just one of those. I was like, I've never seen all his other movies. Never seen Nick Frost move like that. So I wasn't sure if it was him or not.
That's Nick Frost. Awesome.
I wanted to know.
That's Nick Frost. I'm sorry. Sorry, but that's Nick. That's Nick. And if and you know, and we're all there, and Nick's doing it, and he'll go do that, and he'll come back, and we have dialogue, and we try not to laugh all day long. It starts in the makeup room, in the makeup trailer every morning. Yeah. There's been some really funny, interesting things, you know, that some antics that you guys would not believe, you know. Let me plug up.
That's awesome.
There's been some antics that you guys wouldn't believe. I mean, just all kind of stuff. Our first AD on drama unit, Harry, pulled down Paco's pants. I got Mikey Ebling, our first AD on fight unit, threw some pow-pow powder in my face, and camera was rolling, so he ran off, and I cussed him out. I do have that. I'm surprised they haven't released that. I fell asleep and fell out my chair. And yeah, on my chair. Just some really interesting things, but we had some really heartwarming stuff that went on too. And you know, I love those guys. It's just been wonderful.
So one of the things that I want to ask too, just out of my own personal curiosity, because that coat is dope.
Oh yeah, the whole outfit is dope. I would wear that every day if I could.
Giovanni's a genius. He's a genius.
I was like, I don't know if anybody can pull off a bowler hat like you pull off a bowler hat, Sherman. Yeah. Just got to say that. But how heavy is that coat? Because it looks really heavy.
It's pretty heavy, and I'm glad it's heavy because we had some cold days, and I was like, okay, cool. All I need is my beanie. I would slide my beanie on, take the bowler off, slide my beanie on, put it past my ears, throw my scarf on and my gloves. I'm good. Everybody else is freezing. I'm good.
You know, that is awesome.
The long johns on underneath, but... I'm the only one that didn't have that change in the season, but I do have a change in the last three episodes. I'm in a change, and it's dope.
Oh my God.
It's dope. Yeah, it's dope. I'll send y'all the pictures. Y'all want the pictures now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Dope. And so when we go back, that's what I will start off at when we go back. Yeah,
okay.
Dope.
Oh, I cannot wait.
It's on fire, and I love wearing it because Giovanni, you know, we had this meeting, and he goes, "What do you want?" I'm like, "This is what I want." And he hooked it up. Seriously. Same with the jacket. I mean, he hit me with a few. He had a direction of where they were going, but he couldn't tell me. And so he hit me up with a few little hints, and he said, "What do you want?" I said, "Well, this is where I would love for it to look." And this is, I mean, the waistcoat and the pants that I went underneath the jacket is pure silk. So you'll get a chance to see more of that in the second eight. Okay. And then you'll see the new costume, which is just dope.
Every time somebody gets a costume change on the show, it just goes better and better and better and better.
Yeah. Giovanni's a genius. And he made a couple of, personal items for me. He made me a suit. It's just awesome. It's a, you know, red carpet suit, so I can't wear it only to an event. And a couple other things, a jacket. He's awesome. He hooks us up. He really does. He's a great designer.
He's an amazing mind.
He does. The whole steampunk thing works because, you know, the show, if you guys look at it, if you really break it down, the show is a Kurosawa film / a Sergio Leone film.
Yeah.
It's a spaghetti western and samurai movie.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. That is exactly what it is.
You know, if you break it down. I mean, that's the way I interpret it.
Yeah. I think that's why it does so well, because it's so different. It's so different from anything anybody's really ever seen.
And we play it that way. You know, like when The Widow and Moon squared off, we played that, you know, before, you know, we're going to draw weapons. Draw if you're fast kind of thing, you know. So you'll start noticing that, you know, they play that whole thing like Sunny and Moon. They played the whole, like, you know, camera shot, you know, up the arm, down the barrel, to the face, to the eye, his eye, you know, that whole thing. Like, we're just like, okay, make a move, make a move, make a move,
yeah,
draw, kind of thing. Yeah. So it's a Western.
So I'm about to go back and re-watch everything again.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So we don't want to take up any more time because I would keep here talking to you. But so this is a question that we ask everybody because our entire show is taking things that matter to people and explaining why they matter. So any guests we have on, we've done some charity shows and stuff like that, we ask them, what piece of pop culture matters most to you and why?
Piece of pop culture. Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Piece of pop culture that matters. I think, you know, there's a whole bunch of things, but I think a piece of pop culture that really matters to me is exactly what you guys are doing. Okay.
Aww.
Because, you know, I'm a nerd, you know, my kid's a nerd, you know, I don't know about you guys. I think you guys just do this because you just do it. I don't know. No, I'm just messing with you. But, you know, I always collect comics and action figures, and got all my stuff behind me, and I have my action figure in the, my display case that,
that is so cool.
From Virus, actually, and he comes equipped with his own AK-47 and RPG grenade launcher.
That is so cool.
Oh, yeah.
Goals right there.
I think what you guys are doing is great because, you know, now there's a platform for all of us to get together and we have our community.
Yeah. And,
you know, it takes, you know, brilliant minds like you guys to put stuff together, and thanks to technology, when it works, it makes the world a lot smaller, you know. And, you know, there's a lot of people who aren't physical and who aren't able to get out and do things like we do, but yet they can share our experiences and your experience through what you guys do. You know, there's a couple of people with handicaps that love the show, and yeah, we personally are involved with them, you know. So that matters to me. What matters also to me is, you know, I've always been involved with the Shriners organization for kids and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah,
you know, that matters. But yeah, I mean, and I grew up with asthma. So a lot of times, you know, I was sickly and couldn't go outside and couldn't do a couple of things, and, you know, read comics, you know. So now, you know, I can go online and I can share my, you know, love for comics or for Halo or whatever the case may be, you know, with other people. And I feel like, you know, there's something wrong with me. But yeah, you know what? Yeah. There is something wrong with me. I'm an actor, man. Come on. There's got to be something wrong with you if you're an actor. You know? You can go do anything else and have a nice life other than be, you know, acting. What a freaking thing. Anyway, yeah, so that what you guys are doing matters to me. And, you know, there's all these platforms that are out there. And, you know, bless you guys for doing it. So keep it up.
Thank you.
Keep
us informed. You know, and, you know, keep us active in what we like to do. You know?
Thank you so much.
Be right back. I'm going to go cry.
Yep.
Think about it.
That hit my feels.
You guys, I mean, there's shows and there's podcasts that keep shows on the air or get shows picked up. Look at Expanse.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Picked up. Because why? The fans. It's popular in culture. Regardless of what, you know, big time corporation says, you know, these guys will come to your house and be sitting on your couch when you get home. You gonna put the show back on or what, bro? you know, have his arm around your wife. What's up, man? You gonna put your
Into the Badlands, where we'd be going for like 8 seasons, or we're coming for you. Coming for AMC, easy.
Yeah,
I will personally make that campaign.
we'll show up. You know, whose car is in my driveway? Mine, sucker. What's up? That would be funny.
So I don't have any more questions. Do you guys have any more?
Honestly, I do not. I've really enjoyed this.
I
have too. Hopefully, it was just four friends hanging out.
That's exactly what it felt like.
Hopefully, that's how I like to view these things. It's just, you know, us hanging out, man. You know,
yeah, and I wasn't gonna ask this question at the start, but now that I feel like we're friends, and you said it first, where is the Fountain of Youth that you found?
Don't stress the frick out. don't let anything stress you, man. Don't let anything stress you. Just take a deep breath. And I was just having an interview about that earlier today. Being a martial artist, there was a book called The Tile of Martial Arts that I read a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I passed that book on to a friend of mine because it deals with, and she's in the financial field, and it deals with just dealing with stress in your life and how to get rid of stress, and just de-stressing and just breathing, there's a lot of stuff that happened. I'm back now and everybody's pulling and they want to meet you over here. And I was at DreamWorks yesterday. Oh, they want to see you over here. I'm just going, wait a minute, wait. Everybody, wait. Because I would drive my car into the Los Angeles River and I would walk home and later be out. You're not going to stress me out.
Yeah. And
that's the whole key. It's just don't stress. I like to eat, but just watch what you're eating and just take it easy, man. And when you can, just unplug. That's it.
Thanks, Sherman. I really appreciate it. I needed that.
No problem. Yeah. Just don't let anything get to you. That's the thing. Don't worry about getting older and all that kind of stuff. Look, it's all good, but just don't let nobody. We have a saying. I have a saying with a couple of my friends. I'm not going to let Hollywood give me a heart attack.
That seems like a very good saying.
You can't do it. You can't let Hollywood take you out, man. You can't. It's just a business. You take what you do serious, but you don't take it serious. Back to if the work is good and I get to talk to you guys, then that's my job. If I made you smile, that's my job. That's part of de-stressing.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
Well, I haven't stopped smiling since we started talking with you, so.
I know. It's awesome.
So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Why don't you tell everybody, Sherman, where they can find you on the interwebs or in maybe projects in the process?
You're going to throw that at me. Okay. So here we go. I'm going to try to do my best technical thing. You can find me on Twitter at Sherman August. Now, let me spell it. It's going to be AUGUSTU with a 2. I don't know why they did that to me, but that's what they did. Sucker MCs. That's what they did. All right. And on Facebook and Twitter, you can catch me at Sherm Gus.
Awesome. Cool.
Simple and easy as that. I try to keep it easy breezy, but ain't nothing. I'm not stressing.
Yeah.
Easy breezy.
Well, we do have one more question for you,
yeah,
which apparently makes everybody stressed for some reason. What would you like the outro music to be?
For the show?
Yes.
Yeah. So every episode that we have somebody on, they get to pick our outro music.
Oh, for you guys. Oh, for
yes. Yes.
Oh. I was going to say one of my tracks, but hey, wait, hold on now. hold on, mate. Right. Let me think. Kid Cudi's, and we can curse, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Unfuckwittable.
Oh, okay. That's a good song.
That'll work.
That'll work.
I used to say that when I played, when I was playing ball, you knock the soup out of somebody and I'm unfuckwittable. I'm unfuckwittable. Now bring that shit across the field again, man.
Yeah. So how many times do you say that on set? I think is that what everyone's thinking.
Oh, I'd say it in my mind. I say it in my mind because you say something like that, Daniel will go, "You're what?" And then the jokes start and it doesn't stop until then it just goes and goes and it goes for days. Daniel gets going, it doesn't stop. He just goes and he goes. Yeah, but remember that day you said you were unfuckwittable? What happened? That's so Daniel. He would go, "What happened?" Bump with now. Oh yeah, it's a trip.
When I rewatch that you school and MK scene, I'm just gonna have that in my mind.
Time for your nap. Exactly
what I'm picturing.
I had fun with all that. Especially even like, you got some moves on you, kid. Who trained you? In the land.
Yeah. Awesome.
Oh shit. And I have, there's a couple of those moments coming up. You guys are going to have a great time in the next eight. There's
I cannot wait.
Yeah, yeah. There's going to be some deep stuff. It's going to be great. It's going to be fine.
Okay, so everybody, thank you for tuning in. And as always, you can find the podcast at ButWhyThoughPC on Twitter. And you can find me at OhMyMythRandir on Twitter as well. Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SuperEase93, SuperRRUIZ93.
Matt?
You can also find me on Twitter. I've become a World Cup account at this point, but at DATM18EATTM18.
Oh, and there's one more for me. You can call me at 555-254.
People are going to try to call you on that number.
You will.